and welcome to this Lighthouse Church podcast, where you can catch up on our talks from Sunday gatherings. We're a church at East Lothian, seeking to follow Jesus, build community, and make a difference.
Good morning, everybody. Hello. Hi. Karen and Matthew make my heart happy every Sunday. So, today we are starting a new teaching series exploring leadership. So, the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between. What does it look like to lead well? And we're going to look at the life of Jesus and early church if we do that. And there are three kind of main reasons for doing this leadership teaching series now. And they are these. Number one, I want to propose to you that I think there is a leadership crisis in the world right now. I'm significantly aware of the moment in time that we are starting a leadership teaching series. On Monday, this week, Donald Trump was sworn in as the 47th president of the United States. And without making any statements about my support for or horror at his leadership, at a point in global history where we're facing huge political instability, irrefutable climate change, and an alarmingly escalating global refugee crisis, to name only three things that leaders are facing in the world today. We could probably all agree there's never been a better time to ask, what makes a good leader? And is it a leader who refuses to listen to a plea for mercy and then condemns the giver of that message as a nasty, radical, left, hardline Trump-hater? Or is it a leader prepared to listen, prepared to navigate differences of opinion, and try and lead people through them to a place of unity and belonging? I think that might look a bit more like Jesus. Are you with me? And so as Christians, we have a unique opportunity, I think, at this point in history to look to Jesus. What does a good leader in today's global climate look like? And if all that feels kind of too far away from you, like we're talking about something that really doesn't concern you, my second reason for doing a leadership series is this. We all have influence. You. That means you. If you're thinking she doesn't mean me, I do mean you. We all have influence. We can all lead in our families, in our friendship groups, in our work, in church. And so how do we, and I mean you and me, how do we become the kind of leaders that we'd want to be led by? And then the third reason is just thinking about our church and where we're at as a church right now. So we are beginning to discern and choose a new leadership team in the next couple of months. So what should we be looking for? Who should we be looking at? We've taken the last few months to process membership together. Most of us have now signed up. I've now got 30 membership forms. And I've now got a list of people that I'm going to come after. So get ready. And now as a church that we've established a membership, we're going to move forwards to discerning and appointing leaders to move and lead us forwards. And so there's going to be, like we had a membership document, we've got a leadership document that's going to go out via the wonders of WhatsApp to you all this afternoon. I also have some printed copies here if you'd much prefer a hard copy. And that's going to be, I hope, quite an exciting process for us over the next few weeks. We've not done that before here at Lighthouse, but we're trying to set out a really healthy, transparent, accountable process for discerning and releasing leaders here as a church family. So very briefly, before we kick into the scripture, I just want to talk you through that. So a kind of step-by-step guide to discern the process. We would love it if you all would pray and ask God, who do you have to lead us as a church in this next season? And by you, I mean you. I don't mean the person next to you. I mean this is on all of us, yeah? It's for all of us to participate in. So let's not let it be that thing where everybody is sure that somebody else will do it, and then even though anybody could have done it, nobody did it. Have you heard that before? You're all looking back. It's the somebody, anybody, nobody. Enjoy. So it's for all of us to engage in. Number two, if you discern that God's speaking to you about somebody, or you have a kind of an idea, oh, I think this person might be a really good fit for this role, then talk to that person about it. I'd like to nominate you for leadership because this is what I see in you, or this is what I've sensed God saying. And then with that person's permission, you can email your nomination to leadership@lighthousecentral.co.uk by the 16th of February. So that's in 3 weeks' time, okay? So it is a kind of process that we're going to try and move through and get going. And you can read much more detail on the rest of the process in this document. But essentially, then what will happen is that the current leadership team, that's myself and Tom, Jules, Kevin and Christine, will then meet to pray over those nominations, have some conversations with the people who've been nominated, and then check that they're happy to go forwards with the nomination. And as a church family, we'll then all meet together here on the 23rd of March on a Sunday, where we'll use a paper ballot system, basically, to discern and affirm a new team together. I hope that doesn't sound too intimidating. We've tried to keep it as simple as possible. Two very brief things to say before we kick into scripture. Someone is bound to ask me, but what's happened to the current leadership team? Because we really love them. And so Kevin, Jules and Christine will be stepping down on the 23rd of March as we rediscern the new team together. They are entirely able, however, to be part of the new team if they are re-nominated and affirmed by their family meeting that we have. Tom and I, as senior leaders, are employed by the church, so unfortunately you can't get rid of us quite so easily. You're kind of stuck with us. That's the first thing. And then the second thing is just to share with you, really just prayer. Christine has travelled down to London this last week to be with her dad, who's very poorly. So it'd be good to pray for her and her family at this time, and she's going to do her best to be part of our conversations from London digitally over the next few weeks. So please read the document when it comes out. We'll send it out this afternoon, and then if you have any questions, please come and ask, and let's work that through together. But we're hoping it'll be really, really helpful that we've discerned together from within our church membership. Crazy. It's all pretty simple and straightforward. So, to start us off thinking about leadership, I have some leadership quotes for you. If you have watched A Bug's Life, any parents watch A Bug's Life? Or, I mean, any adults, I'm not going to judge you if you sit at home and watch Pixar films. A Bug's Life, Hopper says about leadership, the first rule of leadership, everything is your fault. Ain't that the truth? Secondly, a quote from Baseball, Casey Stengel, who was New York Mets manager, says, the key to being a good manager is keeping the people who hate me away from those who are still undecided. Also, empathise with that feeling. And then the third quote from the Dalai Lama, if you think you are too small to make a difference, try sleeping with a mosquito. So you'll be glad to hear that over the next few weeks we're actually going to look at the Bible for inspiration. But I thought that was just a nice little tidbit. So for this scene, we're going to be reading from John's Gospel, chapter 21. Let me just set the scene for you. Jesus has come to his followers after his resurrection, and he tells his disciples to meet him up north in Galilee. And Peter, his disciple, is there. He's been a key player in the greatest event in the history of our world, but he's played this role where it's brought him real shame. Yeah? He let Jesus down, didn't he? Like, pretty big son. He denied that he knew Jesus. And now, Jesus is risen from the dead, and what do you do with all of that when you've been kind of one of Jesus' closest friends, and you're supposed to be kind of leading the disciples, and you've done the wrong thing? What do you do with all of that? You go fishing, because what else do you do when you're a Pete? You know how to fish. So you go fishing, and because you're a leader, other people go fishing with him. And so it's there that Jesus comes and he meets Peter and he restores him and he resets his leadership calling. So let's read together. John 21, it's going to come up on the screen behind me, verses 15 to 19. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said, "Follow me."
So there's a really important truth in this story, which is this: never ask a hungry man an important question. Can I get an amen to that? Never ask. Exactly. Kevin's there. Just don't do it, Ina. Don't do it. Before Jesus addresses anything with Peter, there's breakfast. Yeah. And think about the breakfast. What is the breakfast? It's fish cooked over a charcoal fire, and the smell of the smoke wafts into Peter's nostrils in the sort of the fading light of the early morning. And all of this is kind of evoking a very sensory memory for Peter. What's he remembering? When's the last time that charcoal smoke from a fire drifted up into his nostrils in the dark light of the setting sun? When was the last time that happened? It's when he let Jesus down. And so Jesus does this beautiful thing where he's like recreating the moment of shame so that he can bring the pain to the surface, and then he can meet Peter there and restore him. And there's something in Jesus' kindness as he recreates the scene around the fire and asks three times, "Do you love me?" It's as if with each response, Pete is undoing his betrayal. Do you know Jesus? Do you love me? Do you know Jesus? Do you love me? Do you know Jesus? Do you love me? This restoration as a leader. And Pete isn't just any leader. Jesus restores Peter to be his key leader, to lead the disciples, and to take the message of Jesus to the world. And so this little conversation tells us a lot, I think, about what Jesus thinks about leadership. And three times Jesus tells Peter, "Feed, take care of my sheep, my lambs. Feed, take care of my sheep or my lambs." And we hear the word feed, and we can easily extrapolate from that the role of a leader is to spoon feed people, to give them what they need. Get the food from A to B, you know, from the kitchen into the mouth of the weaning child. Get it in there, get the mouth shut, get them to eat it, and then spend half an hour clearing up around them. Am I right? I'm right. So the people are full, the leader is happy. And I think if we're honest, I have also felt like that at points. Yeah. If only this leader would do or say this, then I would feel a bit more cared for. Yeah. I'm not being fed. But this kind of thinking leads us too easily to then saying, "I'm not being fed, so I'm gonna go somewhere else to find a leader who will feed me." And we fall into this trap of consumerism, or even popularity. If I'm not getting what I want here, then I'll go somewhere else and I'll find the best shepherd with the best and, you know, the most impressive spoon somewhere else, whatever that looks like. lots of different contexts that can happen. And what doesn't help is that the English translation of that phrase, take care, makes us think a similar kind of thing about what we expect of a leader, doesn't it? We think, oh, that should mean look after. So it's the job of this leader in this context to look after me. And if I don't feel looked after, they're obviously not doing their job. They exist to keep me happy. And I hate to break it to you, but in a gangster film, take care means something else entirely. Am I right? Take care of the sheep. Here endeth the sermon. So what is Jesus really getting at here? So let's just dig into what's actually happening. The word feed is better translated tend. And shepherding in the original translation means take care. It's the word poimen, and it has a sense of a feeder and a protector, someone who is called to care for the whole well-being of the flock. And the best shepherds don't just feed the sheep, they tend them and they show them how to feed themselves, how to lead them to where they can feed for themselves. My brother, he's a shepherd in the Lake District, and he will tell you that that is how you grow a healthy flock. You take the mum sheep and you teach her the best places to graze, the best walls to hide behind when the snow comes in, the best places to go to birth her lambs. A shepherd creates a culture of health and knowledge in a flock that then grows with that kind of culture. So when Jesus comes to Peter and says, shepherd my sheep, he's not saying give the people what they want. He's saying lead them into what is really good for them. Do you hear that distinction? So it's not give the people what they want. It's lead them into what is truly good for them. And Jesus, I think, intends that all leaders are shepherds in the way that he called Peter, not just looking after or managing people, but investing, guiding, enabling, taking them to the places that Jesus would lead them. And we talk a bit in Lighthouse, don't we, about the fivefold ministry of Jesus. In our membership document, you'll all hopefully remember this because you've all read the membership document, right? So we talk about the APES, the fivefold ministry of Jesus. This is how we live like Jesus, and that each one of us has a natural inclination to one of these giftings. But if you're a leader, you're also a shepherd. And that sometimes gets a bit confusing just with the way that we talk about this, because of course we have a shepherd there. We could also use the word pastor for that. But the kind of picture that's drawn up for us in this passage, John 21, is that being a shepherd is about truly caring for people in the way that Christ would, enabling them to grow into their full potential, creating a culture of health where they flourish. And being a shepherd sometimes means making decisions for the sheep that aren't very popular. Or are difficult. You don't become a leader to be popular or liked, because believe me, I tried it and it didn't work out for me. Jesus' shepherding language blows out the water any idea that leadership is about popularity or people pleasing or titles. So let's go back to Jesus and Peter. What does Jesus expect or require of Peter as a leader? And Jesus comes along and he says to Peter, have you done your standard grade maths? And he says, did you bring your own Bible to church this morning? And he says, can you speak to a room full of people? He doesn't at all, does he? He doesn't say any of those things. The criteria is not power or influence or experience or education or personality. Jesus asks Peter the same question three times. What's the question? Do you love me? Do you love me? The thing that sets Christian leadership apart from all other leadership is that it's founded on love. And it's founded on a love for Jesus. Not just, are you a loving person? But do you love me? And we all want to be loving people, don't we? If we're honest. Like, I want to be a loving person. Love is obviously a good quality of leaders. But if I'm honest, and maybe if you're honest, our own supply of love is limited, isn't it? I might be waking up this morning feeling like a really loving person, but then my dishwasher wouldn't work and one of the kids had a meltdown and then someone messaged me with a complaint about something and then all of a sudden my goodwill and intentions have run out and I am not a loving person. I am, in fact, slightly cross and irritable person. Anyone else? Yeah? Sound familiar? But when we set ourselves to grow in love for Jesus, we start to take our eyes off ourselves and put them onto him. And I have found that anchoring myself in the love of God in Christ frees me to give myself away to others in a totally different way. Not to lead out of selfish ambition or reluctant duty, but out of sacrifice and out of joy. And so my love for God and his love for me is what sparks and strengthens my love for other people. Honestly, if it wasn't for the constant love of Jesus, I don't know that I'd still be doing this job, because it's too hard. And maybe you would feel similar in the different places that you lead. But he is the shepherd of my soul. And so when I turn to him and I love him, then I'm able to love others. And equally, when I turn away and wander, like Pete did when he went off fishing, my love for other people shrinks. And so no wonder that Jesus' first question to Pete, as he's coming to him and he's saying, Pete, lead my church. I'm resetting your leadership calling. The first question that he asks Peter is, do you love me? Because that's the foundation. If we haven't got that right, everything else falls. Everything else crumbles. It's the foundation. It's the backbone of leadership, specifically in the church. I want to be led by people who have a passionate, infectious, and growing love for Jesus. Do you? So how do we become this kind of shepherd leader? Jesus asks Peter a second question. He says, do you love me more than these? And I've often thought that's a bit of a strange question. What's Jesus talking about? What are these? So they could be the catch of fish. Picture the scene, you know, Jesus, Peter, fire, fish. Do you love me more than these, Pete? More than your breakfast? Maybe Peter really loved his food and maybe Jesus knew that. Maybe that resonates with you. What could that be? Career, your immediate needs, your nice house, your reputation. Do you love Jesus more than these? Maybe Jesus gestures towards the other disciples. They're sat over there and Pete and Jesus are just having a private chat. Do you love me more than these, Pete? Do you love me more than you love them? And the question to us is, are there other relationships that come ahead of our love for Jesus? And perhaps that's God's challenge to us this morning. Or maybe it's, do you love me more than the others do? Which one is it for you? I think it's probably whichever one most applies, most resonates. Whatever vies for your attention ahead of Jesus, whether it's career or security or comfort. If any of these are ahead of your love for Jesus, then Jesus' question comes as a challenge this morning. Do you love me more than these? Maybe that's something you need to take away and chat to Jesus about. And then, just as we kind of begin to wrap up, there's this weird bit at the end of the passage. I've always found this bit a bit weird. If we go back to verses 18 and 19, Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." It's a bit weird, right? A bit like, what's going on there? Jesus, you're being a bit sort of cagey. I'm not sure I'm okay with that. I think Jesus is saying leadership is less about how you lead and more about your willingness to follow. Let me unpack why I think that. The description is not of a young man who goes where he wants to go as he wants to go, kind of independently. It's of an old man, possibly a blind old man, who is led by someone else, led to a place that he doesn't want to go. And this is directed at Peter because we know with the benefit of hindsight and being in 2025 that Peter actually died for his faith, as many of the early apostles did. Following Jesus led to his death. But I think the idea for us in this is that the best leaders are the closest followers. Let me say that again. The best leaders are the closest followers. And a quality that I often look for in leaders, and at Central, I was really privileged to be involved in quite a lot of leadership training for young leaders in the city. But something I often look for is just teachability. Is someone willing to be led and to learn? Have they shown that they can follow before they lead? That's one of the biggest kind of like green flags. Woo, woo, woo. Ready to go because I'm ready to learn. I'm ready to be taught teachability. And one of the leaders in my life who has most inspired and helped me follow Jesus has been a woman called Kay. She's a very good friend of mine. She currently works for the Church of Scotland, but for many years she was my senior at Central. And she discipled me. She shared her life with me, her marriage, her parenting, her ups, her downs, the things she was learning, her Bible reading. She opened up her life to me so that I could look and see and imitate and follow after Jesus with her. And a few years ago, I was sat with her and a number of other leaders across Edinburgh, and we were encouraged to share our kind of hopes and dreams for the year ahead. And, you know, there were some, you know, big picture leaders in the room. They were like, "I want to establish a movement of missional discipleship across a region." And more like, "That sounds amazing. You go for that." You know, "I want to step into my next promotion. I want to lead with courage. I want to establish a counselling service for the whole of Scotland. I want to navigate online," you know, it's just like ideas out and amazing things, like godly, ambitious people taking their natural drive and giving it to the kingdom. But then Kay said this, and I have never forgot it. She just said, "This year, I just feel like I just want to follow Jesus. I want to be led." She was remarkable. She is remarkable. "I just want to be led." Simple, humble, real. I'd follow Kay any day. And when we're looking for a leader worth following, here's a good question to ask. Are they a follower of Jesus? Are they willing to follow Jesus to places that they'd rather not be? Or people they wouldn't naturally align with? And the way that we can tell a mature leader is not by the size of their following or by how much they impress us with their words. It's their willingness to be led by Jesus, to submit the whole of their lives to him. What they're willing to sacrifice, how far they're willing to go to be led by Jesus. So, to recap, what makes a good leader? John 21, I think it tells us, shepherd leaders love Jesus. Out of loving Jesus, they love people. and they're teachable and willing to be led. Some things for us to think about, especially as we begin to move into a few weeks of discernment for our own leadership team here at Lighthouse. But I wonder if we could just take a little bit of time. We've got quite a bit of time to listen to Jesus ourselves and just to respond to what he might have been saying. I wonder if for some of us, when I talked about these, do you love me more than these? You felt the resonance of the Holy Spirit in you. And maybe that's something you just need to have a chat with God about just now. Do you love me more than these? Will you love me more than these? Perhaps it's just a sense of laying those things down again, whatever they might be. The second thing, just as I was preparing, I felt maybe some of us have been leading, but not following. And it's not like we've been doing that on purpose. That can easily happen out of a, you know, sense of we can easily kind of lead out of a sense of duty or obligation or even habit. I think that's what I wanted to say. And we kind of lose that sense of love for Jesus. It's like that passage in Revelation, you've forgotten your first love. And I think just that sense of come back to loving Jesus. Remember that the best disciples make the best leaders. And you know that passage in Psalms that says that the shepherd leads us beside quiet waters. Maybe you just need to receive Jesus again as your shepherd this morning. To say, I'm coming, Lord. I'll just sit with you by the quiet waters. Pete had to humble himself to receive Jesus like that. You know, he could have got to the fire and been like, nah, my pride is too much. I'm irredeemable. You know, on you go, Jesus. You got the other lads. You got 11 others. You know, I'm kind of done here. I'm out. But he humbled himself and he brought his shame and his heart to Jesus. And maybe that's the same for a few of us this morning. And Pete didn't always get it right. He rebuked Jesus. He challenged Jesus. He protested at Jesus. But this breakfast encounter changed the rest of his life, because he let Jesus lead him. And then, yeah, lastly, just to remember, leadership is about loving people. It's not about agendas or goals or strategies, although it does involve those in time, but it starts with loving people. And that's a good thing to bring to Jesus and ask him to help us with. So as Brooke comes, should we just take a minute of quiet? I've said a lot of things. Maybe you just want to take a few minutes by yourself just to lay those things before Jesus, and then I'll just lead us in prayer.